Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 4th, 2013. Returning for this edition of Mark and Friends, I have Samrat and Kamala. They live in India and serve with Indian Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship. And Bob Dickey is also joining us again. He lives in Gibson City and attends Gibson City Bible Church. And certainly a shout out for Pastor Paul over there at Gibson City Bible Church and his faithful and true assistant extraordinaire office manager, Bonnie Ahrens, who listens to this radio ministry. And speaking of shout outs, Bob's claim to fame, married for many years to lovely Gloria. And if you were tuned in yesterday, I know you're back for part two today, as we'll continue our discussion on the work that God is doing in and through the Indian Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship, IERF, and you can find out more at ierfindia.org. But first, we've convinced Kamala to sing a little song familiar to many, but let me set it up with a verse I just found in Habakkuk 3:18, "I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in God my Savior."
ఇదే దినం ప్రభు చేసినది ఉత్సాహించి స్తుతి పాడెదము ఇదే దినం ప్రభు చేసినది ఉత్సాహించి స్తుతి పాడెదము ఇదే దినం ప్రభు చేసినది.
All right. Well, that's a familiar tune for many of our listeners, but that was done in what language?
Telugu.
If you're unfamiliar with that language, I had never heard of it till today, but that's the language that's spoken in India, correct?
Yes.
Welcome back, by the way, Samrat and Kamala to the studios for this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thank you, Bob, for also joining us and helping me, I guess, co-host. You have these two friends that are in visiting and sharing about their ministry, the ministry that's doing a needed and a powerful work in India, Indian Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship, IERF, and their website is IERFindia.org. And I think a year or so back, we had another person that does ministry work with your organization, and they talked about the various needs in India. I mean, there's thousands, hundreds of thousands of orphans and a billion plus people, as you mentioned yesterday, and you're working in the prisons and you've helped assist in raising up 135 different churches. But yesterday's program, you mentioned St. Thomas, one of Jesus's very own disciples, one of the 12, literally is buried in India. Tell us a little about that and the impact that just people knowing that can have on their lives in following the Lord Jesus.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's a great opportunity for me to come again and share a little bit about India and the ministry, how God is using us there. St. Thomas, as it said, one of the 12 disciples, he sailed to India. He started preaching about his Savior, who is Jesus Christ. And those were the days people never known about a foreign God. Now, in India, people, as I told you, in yesterday's conversation, people were believing in India everything. They're idol worshippers and they believe in everything. Whoever people, you know, say that this is a God, they believe. So,
and I think you mentioned yesterday, like 300 million different gods. I mean, literally, people are hungry. They're seeking after God, but they're looking at all the wrong gods because there's only the one true God, the very God that Thomas preached about, and the ministry that your organization, India Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship, is trying to train and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the same God that Thomas preached about.
Yes. In fact, we came to know about Jesus Christ to Thomas and his disciples, and a missionary from California visited my hometown. He met my great-grandfather, who is a witchcraft practitioner, to live to feed his family. So it made the missionary from California, his name is John Clow. He met my great-grandfather, and he changed my grandfather's heart. They went to a lot of conversation. There was a point my great-grandfather said to John Clow, "Mind your business, don't touch me." And John Clow said, "This is my business. God sent me here to preach the word of God, the good news, to shine the light of Jesus Christ into the dark country." So These are so many stories we can tell, brother. This is the situation in India when St. Thomas came. So his life, really, he laid his life for the sake of Indians. You know, people think that doubting Thomas, you know, that's what people in India are always doubt about God. Just because Thomas visited India, so people having, it's a funny thing they say that, you know, doubting Thomas visited India, so people in India are always doubted, doubting, you know, if this God not good, they go to another God. That God is not good, they go to another God. So it has been practicing. It's a funny thing to say that, but they, as you said, they never find the true God.
I'm thinking, how interesting that one of the apostles, the one of the disciples of Jesus, has visited your country. Because I'm thinking, what would that be like if just St. Peter or Mark or Matthew visited the United States? But here God was caring for India and even used a missionary in the last so many years to witness to your grandfather, who was a witch doctor. And because of that, he came to Christ and started making a difference in his family. So yesterday we talked a little about how you and your wife met and some of the background of India, what India is like. And today I'd like to focus on the ministry that God has called you both to, the Indian Evangelistic Relief Fellowship. And you can find out more at IERFindia.org, IERFindia.org. But let's walk through a little of your own spiritual journey, attending Bible college, and then how God has called you to be one of the catalysts to help raise up 135 churches, to work in prisons, to work with the orphans, to reach those untouchables, to equip pastors and train them. So how does God begin that work in somebody's life to launch them into such an enormous ministry outreach?
Well, my father used to work in railroads. Is the railway manager, railway station manager, you call that, is a superintendent, kind of superintendent. In 1979, God called him for the ministry. At the time, my grandfather is retired from the mission work. He is a pastor too. He is a missionary too. So he's got healed and he's not able to do anything. So at the time, my grandfather had 12 children. Out of 12 children, he chose my dad. My dad's name is Joseph Kodavadakanti. He used to work in railroads. So he called him and he quit his job and started ministering. And people got upset with my dad's work because my dad is entirely different in his speech, in his reaching people, you know, preaching and all, is entirely different. People got upset. The other thing I want to say that my dad never went to Bible college. So people in India, the Christian elders and the Christian board there think that one should be a pastor, you know, unless he gone to a Bible college. But my father never went to Bible college. He got all his knowledge from his father, who is Krupadhanam. He trained them, you know, he trained them like that. So people were upset with that one, not receiving my dad. And in fact, they mocked at him. They thought he's going mad. But he never cared anything. He just stick on to the call, what God called him.
And then how did that influence you to then choose to serve the Lord and go to Bible college?
Yes. My father, as I am first born in the family, he chose me as a, you know, he offered to God to serve after him, you know, like that. I went to Bible college, I came back, and as I told, I met my beautiful wife Kamala, we got married, and then I really felt in my heart that this is the real calling. I got something in the Bible college, but when I am under my dad's leadership guidance, I got so many things. I come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ through my dad.
And then you felt that call that God was going to say, I want you to begin serving. And obviously, with 1.2 billion people in India, there was a harvest field there. And did you have one of those senses that, Lord, what you've entrusted to me, I need to share with others. I want people to know your truth. I want people to come to know you. Was that something that was almost like compelling that you had to do? Or was it something that you just wanted to do?
No. My father being a pastor, I want to help my father in the ministry. And not only that, God told me, God talked to me personally. One fine morning, as I was devoting, doing my devotion, God spoke to me these things. So I concentrated on that word and started really putting my full pledged work in the ministry. So then God gave me vision in 2000 to go to the prisons. And I started with one prison in Angol. Now I am working in 20 prisons all over my state, starting from my hometown, Angol, India, Andhra Pradesh. And I have 20 chaplains working with me, reaching 1,600 prisoners every day.
Now, Bob, you've been a part of serving with Indian Evangelistic Relief Fellowship and the impact it had on your life, and then you've seen it grow and you've seen the passion that Samrat's had over this ministry and all the things it's doing, 135-plus churches, working with thousands of orphans, working with 20-plus prisons, equipping pastors and training them. But as an American going over and visiting, it had a huge impact. You shared a little yesterday, but with the takeaway that you got from it, would you encourage others to sign up to maybe entertain the idea of being called to serve in India or to support it financially?
Well, as I shared yesterday a little bit, Mark, first of all, I think the way we do things in America when it comes to evangelistic outreach or missionary work is so costly and so difficult because we have to be under boards. I mean, it's similar to what Samrat said earlier when he talked about the fact that his dad hadn't gone to Bible college, he wasn't really ordained. He didn't meet the qualifications. But what I learned immediately as we went over there and we saw the work that the Lord was doing through people who are willing to do the work, He is growing His church mightily, and you don't need all those qualifications. They haven't got a clue where their funds are going to come from one day to the next. They just go out and do the work. Mm-hmm. When those two orphan girls showed up at your father's home, mm-hmm, doorsteps, yes, they didn't have the money. He didn't have a job. He had just quit his job and to serve the Lord, but he did. And all of a sudden, these two little orphan girls show up, and they never left. Well, they went from 2 to over 300. And what we see is that if I'm serving the Lord and trusting the Lord on a daily basis, He will provide.
Yeah.
And here in America, we think we got to provide before we ever send anybody overseas. But what I saw, and again, Mark, it goes back to the same thing that we did when we went to Israel. Okay, we got to see it for ourselves. I would highly encourage anybody who thinks that the Lord is calling them to help support the mission work in India to go and visit, go and see. Once they go and see, they'll understand and say, this is one of the greatest ministries that they could ever be involved with. And that's what happened to me. And we ended up as a church, a group, you know, two different times, different people from our church went over there. And I just happened to have the privilege of being one on the last trip. We have such a heart for the mission work over there and for this brother sitting next to me and this sister that we're going to do everything we can.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do everything we can, mm-hmm, to support them.
Mm-hmm.
We just need other people to get the vision and see what the Lord is doing through these people and how much more He can reach out. Through the power and the will of God, through people who are already there.
Yeah.
They just need our support. They need our prayers. They need our financial support.
Samrat, can you share some examples of where you've seen God at work, whether it's in the prisons or with the church planning and all the growth or equipping these many pastors or even the chaplains that are going out and serving? So give us some of the things that God's doing through India Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship.
Well, the growth of the church in India is really not that much level which we are intended to grow. But God is great and is doing great things in India. A part of this, India Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship is reaching unreached people in villages especially. You know, I want to say one thing, as we ask this question, how we are reaching or what are the good things coming after the ministry. One day I was observing a guy breaking the coconut in front of the idol. So, as I was standing down on the road and observing, you know, in India, every corner we can see a Hindu temple. Every corner you can see a Hindu temple, people just going, throwing the flowers and breaking the coconuts. So, God is speaking to me, go to Him and talk, go to Him and talk. So, I went there and a young man doing this thing, you know, it's offering. So I said, brother, do you know why you're breaking the coconut in front of that idol? He said, don't you know what I'm doing? I'm honoring, I'm respecting my God. Okay, well, what benefit you get out of that? I asked. He said, benefit? He said, I don't know. Then why are you doing it? And he said, I don't know. Who told you to do it? He said, my parents, and it's a tradition. He doesn't know what they're doing. He thinks that this is the God thing. This is the way to honor the God so that he get blessings from the God. He is in such a, you know, faith in that. I said, do you want me to tell, explain what is this? You want to tell? Yeah, I can tell. I can explain to you. I said, yeah. When you broke the coconut in front of that idol, no, I mean, as you say, your God, the coconut breaks into two parts, and the water come out. You say, what, coconut milk or coconut water come out. That is, you know, David prayed, God, give me clean heart, wash me as a white as, you know, like that. When you broke it, the coconut becomes two part, and we see the meat. So our heart is hardened, very hard. Our heart is not good, you know, it's all dark inside. So when we confess, when we repent before the Lord, and our heart breaks, the darkness, the dark, will turn into white. I said that one. This man said, wow, what is this? Yeah, I said, this is the truth, you know. I asked him, how many coconut you break? He said, morning and evening. Since from what age? He said, since from 11 years old. Now he is almost 25 years old. Mm-hmm. 2 days a coconut, you know, breaking. How much money he wasted? You just think about this, Mark. This is what they believe in India. Just breaking the coconut feels him that this is the God. So India Evangelistic Relief Fellowship is reaching people in a way, in such a way that finding a true God, you know, by reading Bible, we supply them, you know, food, education. And we give them, like, you know, water and food, education, and also we equip them with all the, you know, things, what all we can do, you know, in India. In villages where we go, people have no good food, no nutrients, no proteins. People are dying with diarrhea, malaria, no good water. So, in one hand, we give relief, in the other hand, we do the evangelism. So this is the basic theme of India Evangelistic and Relief Fellowship. That's why we see the growth in church, in villages especially. Our concentration is Indian Evangelistic. That's our point.
And I think what you said on yesterday's program and inferred today, there's like 330 million different gods. So people are seeking after spiritual things, but they haven't been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the benefits, you can say, you know, over in that province, there's Thomas's grave, one of the original disciples, followers of Jesus. And you can use that as a springboard into sharing the good news message of Jesus, because the bones of one of his disciples are here in our country. He reached out many years ago and talked about you can have a relationship with Almighty God. So have you seen people receptive to that personal God that cares for them, that really wants to be a part of their lives? Is that like a foreign concept to them? Because they worship all these gods, these idols, but they have maybe never heard that a personal God wants to work in their lives and bless them?
Well, yes, brother. In India, people, as I told you, know, they think that Jesus is also a God. But we as a Christians, we say Jesus, the God, is only God. But in India, people believe that he is also a God.
Okay.
Because they think that he is from America, is a foreign God. He was not. They were really not knowing about where he is from. He is Asian. He is from Israel. He is a Middle East God. When we say that, these people, they just ignore it, you know. When they don't give respect to Jesus Christ, which is our Lord, our God, how can they believe in St. Thomas, you know? They don't believe in that one. But there are some people, they want to seek and find. They want to do a lot of excavation, you know, interrogation. They want to go there and see with their own eyes. As Thomas said, I want to put my fingers in the hands of the Lord our God. Like that, people don't believe unless they see something happen. That's what India Evangelistic Relief Fellowship are trying to reach people in prayers and crusade, you know, open-air meetings, healings, God touching in their hearts. We're trying to pull the people into the church.
Samrat, would you mind giving that testimony about that prisoner who was very angry with you?
Well, thanks, Bob, for asking that. One day, This happened in my hometown, Ongole, Andhra Pradesh, India. That was the first time I am entering into the prison. There was a guy among 600 people stood up and said, "Hey, you stop preaching the gospel. We don't want to hear about Jesus, who is a foreign God. Why are you going after one God? We have 33 million gods with us." "Well, did those gods ever talk to you?" I asked him. "No, I don't know." "Then why you are asking me to stop speaking about Jesus Christ?" He just bluntly said, "I don't want to hear about him." And he said, "If you say one more word about Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to see your end," he said. "Well, no problem, for die is gain for me." "What about you, man? If you die, you will be hell." "I don't care about anything. You just go," he said like that. And I said, and he also asked me, "If there is a real God, the God whom you are talking about, Jesus Christ, show me now. Prove me now." He's asking like that, okay? I told him, he already came 2,000 years back. He did. He laid his life. He lived. He preached. He died for us. He ascended, and he's going to come. And he's in our hearts right now. This is not the way you're asking me. Go back to your room, kneel down, confess, and ask Lord for forgive your sins. He will appear to you. He will show you. And I went away. That man went away. That night, he was kind of disturbed. He was not going to sleep. Something touching him. Something disturbed him. And he was recollecting, I said, "Kneel down and pray." It's in the Bible. Every knee shall down. Every tongue should confess that Christ is the Lord. So he remembered and he prayed. As he praying, he felt that two hands touched him. He went to bed. Next week I was ready to go into the prison. That guy was standing at the door and waving hand. "Hey, hey," like that. And when I go to him, I was thinking that I was in a trouble, because he said, "If you come again, I will see your end." So I'm like, you know, wow.
And for our listeners, "see your end" means I'll kill you, right?
Yeah. So I went there and he held my hand and said, now he said, "Brother, pastor, there is a God." I said, "Yeah, I know there is a God." And he said, who know who is that? It's Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I hugged him. You know, this is the something, you know, unique things happening in India, brother, right now. God is opening the door.
Well, we're out of time, but I'm going to encourage our listeners to stop by IERFindia.org. That's IERFindia.org. Please stop by, everyone, and you can find out more of how you can get involved financially, specific ways to pray, or maybe God is calling you to entertain the idea of gathering a small group of people or joining Bob Dickey or Gibson City Bible Church or other groups to serve over in India. It's a mission field that's needed, that God is working at, and you can find out a lot more of the specifics and how to get involved. So stop by IERFindia.org, IERFindia.org. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being in the studio and being a part of the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, Mark.
So we'll close out with a song. And what's the language again?
Telugu.
Telugu.
మొదట ఆయన రాజ్యమును మరియు నీతిని వెదకినచు అప్పుడవన్నీ మీకు అనుగ్రహించు హల్లెలూయా 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 రొట్టె వలన మనిషి జీవించడు దేవుని నోట నుండి వచ్చు ప్రతి మాట వలన జీవించును హల్లెలూయా హల్లెలూయా హల్లెలూయా